1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Rocking and rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network jam-packed program for you as we get ready to enter your boy's favorite time of the year. You can tell I came on the mic a little bit different tonight. The energy level, the buzz in this town right now, as we're about 48 hours away from training camp practice number one for the Washington Commanders, who will break it all down for you here in the next 3.5 hours. Coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour, about David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, is set to join us. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold as we get geared up for what I'm calling Uptown Down. Tell me if you agree. The most important, the most highly anticipated training camp in recent memory here.
Yeah, at least since 2012.
At least since 2012. And I think that's the bar that we're looking at right here. At least since 2012. We all know we didn't know how to act when Robert Griffin III took the practice field in Ashburn for the first time. I know we saw mandatory minicamp. I know we got to go through OTAs. This is different, though. It's for real. It matters. There are consequences. Press conference set for tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, set to address the media. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know how common it is for a general manager or executive to speak prior to the start of training camp, but I'm all here for it. I am here for it. I love it. It shows another example of how different this regime is, of how different things are going to be moving forward. One thing I'm really anticipating tomorrow, maybe I have jumped the gun here with what I'm about to say, but just to get things kicked off here on the football tip here real quick before we get into what Mark Eyne had to say to our pal Kevin Sheehan over the weekend. Wouldn't tomorrow be the perfect time for Dan Quinn, Adam Peters to share the podium together and give us the news officially that we've all been waiting for? There is plenty of buzz, plenty of excitement, plenty of intrigue heading into this training camp. But the one thing I know, we're all anticipating that this will happen, but we don't know when. I think tomorrow, day one of camp, press conference with the coach, with the GM, it's the perfect time to do you know what with you know who. We'll talk about that as the 7 o'clock hour rolls on here as well. We got some NBA to discuss before we get out of here. The Wizards wrapped up their summer league slate over the weekend. I just saw it via Grant and Danny's Wizards Insider, Greg Finberg. Bump Carrington, number 14 overall pick, second team all summer league. He was absolutely brilliant in the Las Vegas summer league. I would say probably Washington's most impressive rookie. I know I'm not speaking in hyperbole when I say that. A lot less than to be desired when it comes to the number 2 overall pick, Alex Saar. Keyshawn George, the third first round pick, I thought showed well for himself as well. I will touch on all things Wizards Summer League coming up top of the 9 o'clock hour when our pal Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network is set to join us. 8:45, 9 o'clock. We'll get the Chase Hughes interview in somehow, some way. But there's something else I wanted to start with here, and I mentioned it. Mark Eyne, I guess I can call Mark Eyne the second in charge when it comes to the Washington Commanders and their ownership group. He is the guy that really, according to multiple reports, he is the guy that really pushed for Josh Harris to seriously consider buying the Washington Commanders about a year ago. And we had the anniversary on Saturday, the one-year anniversary of the Commanders being officially sold from Dan. I said Don. I almost called you Don Snyder, Uptown. See how you get? This is why you don't trust me. I'm not trustworthy, clearly. Dan and Tanya Snyder officially relinquished the power to Josh Harris and company a year ago this past Saturday. And how can we all forget? How can we forget our guy Josh Harris, who, let's just be real here, still in the honeymoon phase? I think this stadium dialogue is really, and the rebrand dialogue is really the first time we're seeing, you know, Burgundy and Gold faithful look at him sideways saying, hey, bro, we love you, but we want a stadium. We want new uniforms. We want new colors. You all want a lot. I want to win games. Can I tell her how a T.I. is for a second? I want to win games. Nothing else matters to me. And we have this conversation during the summer all the time because it's appropriate. There isn't a game going on. There isn't practice to evaluate. There isn't press conferences to dissect. So this is what we do this time of year. We clamor for the stadium. We get irrational about the stadium. We clamor for a rebrand. We get irrational about the rebrand. It is frustrating. It's frustrating for me. It very much is. It very much is frustrating for your boy, and here's why. And a lot of you out there can agree with me, man. And you can feel and pick up what I'm putting down. I say it all the time. I am the leader of the youngest in charge movement. Argue with whoever wants to debate it. I have self-proclaimed myself that. It is what it is. Now, a lot of us in the youngest in charge movement haven't gotten the opportunity to bear witness to the success that a lot of the older fans have. You have your RFK memories. You got your Super Bowl champions. I envy you all the way. I crave that type of dialogue surrounding this football team, that type of energy surrounding this football team. So don't get angry at me when I say what I'm about to say. I don't care when the stadium comes. Well, let me not say that. I don't care where the stadium goes. That seems to be the big hot button debate and topic right now is the stadium search and how long it's going to go on for, and will it be parallel with a rebrand? There's a lot to dissect between now and a new stadium. First of all, the current building that houses the Washington Commanders doesn't even have a name. It's Commander Stadium. Blech. Blech. Vomit. Vomit emote. Vomit emoji. Speaking of emotes, Uptown, I don't know if you've seen the Rick Ross emote that's been going viral.
I have.
If we can get that song, you know the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If there's a clean version of it, I'm willing for tonight only to move away from my theme song because I love that song, bro. I know you probably seen it on TikTok and it's squatted up here with the fellas.
Yeah, yeah.
Rick Ross is great. Anyways, I want to vomit. I want to vomit emote when I see all of you get so frustrated and angry about stadium news and rebrand news when it doesn't go your way. If we've got it ready, Commander's second in charge, as I'm calling him, Mark Ein, joined the Kevin Sheehan podcast and had this to say about how long it's going to be before the Commanders have a new stadium. And we'll get that for you momentarily here. We're having some technical difficulties because this is the real world. It's live radio, people. I got the best producer in the world, though, and he's got it ready.
Give us an update on the effort to, you know, find a new place for a new stadium.
Everyone's seen the stuff that's out there. We're really eager to find a new home. We obviously put $80 million into this facility because we're going to be there a while. We know how much you need it. I actually was touring it yesterday, and there's a lot that people are going to get excited about already for this year and things people will see, and, you know, we'll keep making sure our current home's good. But we're all eager to find a new one, and, you know, we're exploring all the options.
When you say it's going to be a while, what's a while? When do we, get excited about going to games in a new stadium? What year?
It all depends on when you get the site. But I think, you know, you're thinking kind of move in 7, 8, 9 years, and you try really hard for the earlier end of that, and it could go longer depending on how long it takes to secure the right site.
That's not
Which
jarring.
Which could be the current site, by the way.
That's what? Not jarring if you've been paying attention to it, but what you just pointed out is 2031, 2032, which means it's FedEx Field for the next 7-8 years, and that's why you continue to invest in the current facility.
Yeah, and I think 2030 is the near end. But yeah, that shows why you have to keep investing and why we are, and we're committed to creating a world-class fan experience where we are, and, you know, frankly, a world-class team that people want to come cheer for, and we have a lot of confidence that we're going to be able to do that and make this a place that people really enjoy being, cheering for their team, coming with their families, their colleagues. Like, we're going to make that happen, but then we're also excited for what we can build once we get a site selected.
That is Commanders managing partner, minority owner. What do we call Mark on? One of the partners, one of Josh Harris's 21 limited partners on this ownership group, giving a major update to our own Kevin Sheehan about, you know, what's next when it comes to the stadium search for the Washington Commanders. 7 to 9 years? 7 to 9 years? I know it. It has some of you out there absolutely insufferable. Some of you out there are beside yourself at that news, at that information. You are. I get it all the way. I do. Some of you are upset about the rebrand not happening. Some of you are upset now with this new date. Let me give you some positives and some negatives for the crowd out there that feels like you will turn cannibalistic if the stadium doesn't come, if the rebrand doesn't come on your timeline. So 7 to 9 years for you RFK geek bots out there is what I call you. 7 to 9 years lines up with RFK being the site, because there's a lot of political hoops that have to be jumped through in order for this franchise to return back to its original stomping grounds at RFK. So if you're team get the new stadium at RFK, 7 to 9 years should be music to your ears. 7 to 9 years lines up as a more realistic timeline, because as you continue to see, as this discussion, you know, continues to layer itself, it ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be all peaches and roses to get the Commanders back at the old RFK site. And I said it. Y'all can hate me if you want to. Y'all, some of you already do. Look, if I had it my way, ain't no way in hell on God's green earth would I be okay with D.C. taxpayers publicly funding Josh Harris's little toy. No, not at all. Especially for a product that I'm not sure you all are going to go watch. Because let's be real here. There's a long way to go with this team. There's energy, there's excitement, there's intrigue. But to me, in order for that jurisdiction specifically, D.C., in order for it to make sense for them to publicly fund this sports and entertainment Taj Mahal that Josh Harris is trying to create, you have to be promised some sort of return on your investment. And I don't think it's likely at the RFK site. I don't, because the product right now isn't very good, which is why I keep saying 7 to 9 years for all of you that, what I call y'all, you RFK geek bots, 7 to 9 years gives you time to establish yourselves as a perennial contender within the NFC. It gives you time to reestablish yourselves as a powerhouse in the National Football League. And y'all know how I get down. Winning cures everything. What is the old saying? Cash rules everything around me. My acronym would be, how do you even say it? WRs are tough to pronounce. Ream? Is that how I would say it? Winning rules everything around me. That's all I care about. I don't care about your cute little jerseys. I love the black uniforms, by the way. They hard. Have we won in the black uniforms yet? I think that's the issue that everyone's having. Uptown, I know you're about to try to look it up. I don't think we have. You can go ahead and look it up, though. I really don't think.
Yeah, I can't recall, but I'm going to see what I can find.
Minnesota Vikings back in 2022 was an L. I think you did that game with us. It was heartbreak here in studio. Chicago on Thursday night. We know how that went. The Giants did warm in one of the Giants games last year. Didn't win that. So, look, the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, ass whooped with the black uniforms on. So I love the black unis. I hate that we don't win in them. But, like, that's as passionate as I get on the uniform front. It doesn't waver my fandom. It doesn't make me, you know, contemplate whether or not, you know, I'm going to root for this group. It just is what it is. What's most important moving forward with this new ownership group, with the new front office, with the new quarterback, establish yourself. 7 to 9 years is really the timeline. And I don't know if I should call poppycock on that or not. But if 7 to 9 years is the real timeline, think about how much time you have to get people to go to FedEx. Because here's the thing. Until y'all start showing up to FedEx, well, let me stop saying that before I get in trouble, because that's not even the name of the stadium. Until y'all start consistently showing up to Commander Stadium, why do you deserve a new stadium, huh? Why do you deserve it? Show me what you're doing with the stadium you already got. That's like if you're a parent out there and your kid begging you, Mom, Dad, I want a new phone. Mom, Dad, I want a new phone. What you doing with the phone you got now? Huh? Show me you appreciate what you already got before I break my back to get you something brand spanking new. One thing that Mark Hines said in that clip as well is they continue to put big-time money into the old FedEx field because they plan on being there for a while. So you want to, as he said, continue to provide the fans with a world-class fan experience. Point blank. Point blank. When you hear Mark Hines say 7 to 9 years away from a new stadium, what feeling does that invoke within you as a fan? And are you feeling as if the Josh Harris ownership group is letting you down in any way? 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. So in the black uniforms, we're 1-5.
Oh, God. Can I guess the win?
Go ahead. You want the year?
Yeah, give me the year.
2022.
2022 black uniforms. Gosh. Wins were few and far between that year.
Yeah.
So shouldn't be super difficult to predict who we beat in the black unis. Darn. We're up against the clock. We'll tell you on the other side of the break. If you can call in and tell me the one game that the Commanders won in the black uniforms, I may got something for you special. Slide my DM. Shane is in D.C., though, before we hit the break. What's going on, Shane?
Hey, what's going on, Lanell? You know I love you, man. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Yes,
keep on
indeed.
Talking.
Hey, Shane, hold on, look. Shane. You're not out the country for once, my brother? Damn.
No,
you
I'm
actually
back,
in the States?
Look, I came back, and as soon as I came back, you can tell you're in D.C. because all you smell is the damn weed up in this city, man. Damn. Look, I ain't hating, but here's the thing. The RFK Stadium, like you said, we can wear a polka dot. We can go out there and call the piglets. We can be called – just win, baby.
That's it.
Just win. Winning cures everything in any sport, anything in life. You win, you look better. You feel better. We ain't had a winning organization in 20 years. This is the hype we've had since 2012. The reason why? Because we have a new toy, a quarterback.
Yep.
We have that new toy that we're going to go out there and play with and see what he can do. But, no, I can care less where the damn stadium's at. You can put the damn thing in Richmond, Virginia, for I give a damn. Just win, baby. Just win.
For sure. Shane, I appreciate you tapping in, as always, my brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Commanders, I don't know what to call Mark Hines. Let's look this up here real quick. This is live radio, people. The official title of Mark Hines, he's a part of Josh Harris's ownership group. He's the second in command, and he is the guy that, according to a lot of reports, really convinced Josh Harris to put in a significant bid for the Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Jamal out in the city. You got to answer for me, my brother. You got to be correct if you're going to guess now.
We beat the Falcons.
Ah, yes. The Daron Payne tip pass at the line of scrimmage. Is that what it was, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
There we go. Do you follow me on social media, Jamal?
I don't. Let me follow you now.
It's at NELL_BTP. I'm a man of my word. I got something for you. Stick around. Hang tight. Cool. I'll slide in your DM here shortly. Appreciate the call. As always, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll let you hear once again from a member of the Commanders ownership group, Mark Ein, giving a timeline for when we can expect a new stadium. He also gave some insight on a potential rebrand as well. All of that and more coming up next here on The Fan. Just getting rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up, top of the 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk all things Washington Commanders and get an in-depth preview for the first day of practice set to kick off on Wednesday when our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, is set to join us. Coming up at 8:45, we'll switch gears a little bit, talk all things Washington Wizards. They wrapped up their summer league. We'll join the absolute best to talk all things Washington Wizards, a pal Chase Hughes, who covers the Wiz for the Monumental Sports Network. That's coming up at about 8:45. Right now, though, want to continue to discuss the news that we got over the weekend. Mark Ein, part of the Commanders ownership group, the Commander's owner that is, I guess, being held responsible. That's not the way to say it, but the guy that really gave Josh Harris that final nudge and said, hey, bro, this is destiny. We're from here. We grew up rooting for this group. Put your money where your mouth is and help return this franchise to glory. Mark Ein was the guy, according to a lot of different folks, that really gave, you know, Josh Harris, that final push. If we can run it back here again quickly, Uptown Dom. Mark Ein joined the Kevin Sheehan podcast and had this to say in regards to how long it'll be before the Commanders have a new stadium.
Give us an update on the effort to, you know, find a new place for a new stadium.
Everyone's seen the stuff that's out there. We're really eager to find a new home. We obviously put $80 million into this facility because we're going to be there a while. We know how much you need it. I actually was touring it yesterday, and there's a lot that people are going to get excited about already for this year and things people will see. And, you know, we'll keep making sure our current home's good. But we're all eager to find a new one, and, you know, we're exploring all the options.
When you say it's going to be a while, what's a while before? When do we, get excited about going to games in a new stadium? What year?
It all depends on when you get the site. But I think, you know, you're thinking kind of move in 7, 8, 9 years, and you try really hard for the earlier end of that, and it could go longer depending on how long it takes to secure the right site.
That's not
which
jarring.
The current site, by the way.
Not jarring if you've been paying attention to it, but what you just pointed out is 2031, 2032, which means it's FedEx Field for the next 7, 8 years, and that's why you continue to invest in the current facility.
Yeah, and I think 2030 is the near end. But, yeah, that shows why you have to keep investing and why we are, and we're committed to creating a world-class fan experience where we are and, you know, frankly, a world-class team that people want to come cheer for. And we have a lot of confidence that we're going to be able to do that and make this a place that people really enjoy being, cheering for their team, coming with their families, their colleagues. Like, we're going to make that happen. But then we're also excited for what we can build once we get once we get a site selected.
As Mark Gein, given the news that, I'll be honest with you, just gauging social media, and it's at @NELL_BTP if you want to tap into me on social media. Just gauging social media, that timeline that Mark Gein just provided us, 7 to 9 years, he dropped an official year, not an official year, but he dropped a year saying 2030. That's 6 years from now. As I said in the opening salvo, this is, to me, if you are a RFK, return to RFK geekbot, and this is all you care about, I would say this timeline honestly makes more sense. I would say this timeline honestly kind of lends itself to keeping the door open on a return to FedEx Field. Now, I continue to say the same thing. I do not care if they ever return to FedEx Field. Excuse me, to RFK. I could care less. All the nostalgia that you all have with that stadium, all the fond memories. I know I hear about it all the time whenever you all call in to Grant and Danny or B Mitch and Finley or the Junks or myself here on Overtime. I'm tired of hearing your sorry old RFK stories. I'm done. You were probably 30, 40 pounds lighter, right? Times have changed. Times have changed. What matters most about this franchise moving forward is not when the next stadium's going to be built. It's returning back to being a powerhouse of the National Football League. It's crazy. YouTube is a damn great thing. So one of the bits I've been doing recently is falling asleep watching old Redskin games on YouTube. And shout out to the page that's providing all the content. I don't want to name drop him here. I don't want to get him in trouble. He might get stuff taken down because I'm sure it's some sort of copyright infringement. He's got full Redskin games on YouTube. And, you know, sometimes I don't feel like playing the game and I'm all maddened out. I'll watch a few. One, I love, I'm a mark for color commentary, right? Or for play-by-play and color commentary. So I love hearing the different announcers from back in the day. And then two, as the youngest in charge woman, it would be a disservice for me not to do my research, for me not to be in line with my history when it comes to the team that I am emotionally invested in. Watching an old game at RFK from back in the 90s, the place was rocking. I understand why you all love it. I do. I know I make the jokes about, you know, you probably had hair back then. You were probably, you know, 25 pounds lighter back then. You probably realistically could have captured the woman or man of your dreams back then. Not no more. You've changed. The team's changed. But y'all know where I'm going with this, man. That stadium used to bump. That stadium was the move. That stadium is where people wanted to be. Hearing other folks around the National Football League talk about it is what really gets me to empathize and understand, well, why y'all want it back. But, like, this is my thing. Let's be real. Let's be open. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent. Y'all was packing out FedEx Field 90 mojos at a time. I remember Sunday night against Dallas. And I'm not even talking about 2012 when they clinched the division. I'm talking about Sunday night versus Dallas, game one of Mike Shanahan and Donovan McNabb. Y'all had the place jumping. I remember, just for more recent history, first year Alex Smith, and we took on the Cowboys, and we went on a field goal walk-off. FedEx was jumping in. Y'all got to just start going back to the games. You can turn that site that the current Commander Stadium is at, that area is primed for a stadium. It just is. That area is primed for a stadium. They ready for y'all, man. Y'all got to just come out in droves. But we don't, because we're fair weather fans there locally. That's what we do. That's why I can't stand some of y'all. I'm obviously being facetious when I say that I love everybody that taps into the show. But, like, man, it's hard being a Commanders fan. It is. Especially when it comes to hot button topics and debates like the stadium. Because I'm of the belief you win at Commander Stadium, and they'll have a licensing deal here soon. when it comes to, you know, the stadium, and they'll get naming rights again. It's all fine and dandy. If they win there, that could be the place. We got 6 years, man. That's enough time to get yourselves out of the basement of the NFL and turn yourself into one of the premier legit franchises in the NFL as you once were when you were playing the games out at RFK. It's in the realm of possibility. It's not a pipe dream. It's not a fantasy. And the beautiful part about it is with in charge, with Jaden Daniels under center, we're closer to getting back to the top than we've ever been. Sometimes, this is in life too, man. So if you paying attention, really pay attention. This is in life too, man. Sometimes you got to hit rock bottom. Rock bottom. Sometimes you got to fall flat on your ass before you can wake up and smell the roses and understand what it is and what it ain't. That's how I feel about the Commanders. With new ownership, with a new front office, with a new quarterback, we are closer than ever to returning back to the glory years. The question is, though, for me to you, with Mark Ian saying we're 6 years away potentially from a stadium, does it make you evaluate the Josh Harris ownership group any differently here as we just celebrated a one-year anniversary this past Saturday? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll talk about a potential rebrand coming up here as well. But first, I want to go to the phones. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Umer and Ashburn, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Lavinell? You know, honestly, I'm very happy that Mark Ein came out and said that this is still very far down the line because we can finally put this story to bed.
Yes.
We can put this to bed, not talk about it for the next couple of years. And you keep saying it. The main focus here should be developing a winning culture, a winning franchise. That should be priority number one. And, you know, if we are able to build the franchise to, you know, what it used to be, you know, some of that revenue that we may potentially incur, like, that might speed up the process.
For sure.
But at the end of the day, right, you know, maybe 2030 is a reality at that point. But it all starts with what happens on the field. And honestly, like, I hope this is the last time they make you talk about the stadium and or branding. I know you got another segment coming up. But even the branding, like, let it go, man. It's done. Thank you for taking the call.
Umer, I appreciate you as always, my brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Everyone we've talked to here tonight, and I appreciate you all tapping in as always, everyone we've talked to here tonight has expressed the same sentiments. You know what that means? One, it's Linnell's crowd, clearly. Because when you listen to the Junks, you listen to Grant and Danny, you listen to B. Mitch and Finley, people constantly are moaning and bickering and have the draws in a wad over the stadium. But everyone we've heard from tonight, and primarily when I have this discussion, it feels like all of the smart fans come out of the woodworks. Y'all understand and you're on the same page that I'm on, man. It is about winning. Everything else is secondary to that. Because like the last caller just said, if you are able to put together and put out on the field a winning product year in, year out for the next 6 years, guarantee you, you'll be in a hell of a lot better financial position than you are right now when it comes to funding that stadium. Because here's the bearer, and let me be the bearer of bad news here, I guess, when it comes to RFK and D.C., and I said it at the top of the show, I will continue to say this whenever I talk about this topic. D.C. does not have the money to publicly fund a stadium. Point blank. And I understand in this hot, spicy political climate that you all want to take this another way, I'm gonna leave it at its surface. I'm gonna leave it on the cutting room floor. DC is not in any position to provide public funding for Josh Harris's sports and entertainment Taj Mahal. That's relative to Maryland and Virginia. Two jurisdictions that are way better off financially, and it's way more feasible to expect them to kick out big-time funds and compared to the city, compared to D.C. That just ain't where we're at right now. If you're a D.C. resident out there, call me. If you're okay with your tax dollars going towards Josh Harris's toy, then call me up. Let me know about it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We've had this conversation plenty of times here over the past year or so. And it feels like the overarching theme and the overarching belief within the fan base is the same. Y'all know what D.C. is. Y'all know what's going on here in the city. It's not a town that, in my opinion, can afford to be kicking out public money towards the stadium, especially when there is no guarantee that you're going to get a return on your investment. It's the same way I felt about Ted Leonsis wanting to pack his bags and go to Virginia. I understood it to a degree. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Jason Adden Olney. What's going on, Jason?
What's happening?
What's happening, bud? How you feeling?
So I just got out of the gym, a little workout, tuning in your show like usual. And it kind of bothers me a little bit. I mean, I knew what Harris and all the guys were getting. They knew what they were getting themselves into. It wasn't going to be easy, you know, getting a stadium back in Washington. But, you know, they win, you know, play, put out a decent product and play competitive. It don't even matter where they go at this point. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm not going to the game, so I just watch it on TV. So
let me ask you this, you know. Jason. Was there once a point in time where you were going to the games?
The last game my brother and I went to was the Ravens Skins maybe 18 years ago when we lost, and that was the last time.
Wow, but, you're talking about Sunday Night Football?
I don't even remember. I guess so. It was a long time ago. But growing up in Montgomery County kid, we were spoiled. My dad, you know, we watched Skins throughout the 80s and the 90s. Mm-hmm. They were good. It was a good time. But, you know, I never was – I've always supported the local teams, but I don't go out to a game, except for a couple of Nets and Orioles here and there.
For sure.
It is what it is. Looks like it's going to be staying in Maryland, you know, mow it down and build a new stadium. I think that's what's going to happen.
I think that's what's going to happen as well, Jason. Before I let you go, you're calling from Olney. You know I am. Yeah. I'm a fighting Magruder colonel.
I do know that. My whole family went there.
Wow. Well, there we go, Jason.
A long time ago.
Okay.
Yep.
Never was able to make that connection with you. As long as you don't root and cheer for that other school down 108, then we don't have.
No. Unfortunately, my kids are Rockville kids. We moved to a different neighborhood a couple of years ago. So.
Gotcha. Jason, I appreciate you tapping in to the show as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Based off of the calls we've taken here tonight, it feels as if everyone's on the same page right now, and thank the Lord. Praise him. Honestly, because it felt like there was a point in time when we would have this discussion about a stadium, about a potential rebrand, and you all would act like you ain't had no damn sense. Seriously, you all would be so angry and so frustrated and so up in arms about the idea of the R name coming back and so on and so forth. I'm just glad that it feels like here tonight, maybe at least we've reached a happy medium.
Yeah, I feel like when the first rebranding was happening, when we became like Washington Football Team and all that kind of stuff, I feel like that stadium talk was really prevalent then just because it was, you know, we were entering this new rebranding thing. I think now fans, and I don't want to speak for everyone out there, I'll speak for myself. I feel like, you know, now it's like we've shuffled through a few names. Yep. We got a new owner now. It's just like, let's just win, man. Like, you know, forget all this corporate talk and whatever we're going to do off the field. We need to just win on the field now.
I think you put it well, Uptown Don. It just is what it is. And I think, and that's why I was talking about earlier, for guys that are closer to our age, man, that haven't gotten to see this team prosper, winning matters to me more now than ever. The fact that I'm sick and sadistic and twisted, he was talking about a game 18 years ago. I'm trying to think, That was what, 2006? I'm really sitting there trying to think back. I remember we played the Ravens on Sunday Night Football, got our ass busted in 2008, I remember. I remember we played the Ravens in a primetime spot years and years and years ago to where I wasn't even watching and knowing what I was talking about. But, like, I'm a sicko for this stuff, man. I eat, breathe, sleep the Commanders. So when I don't get passionate, and it's not that I don't get passionate, when I don't get testy or angry or when I'm indifferent about the stadium talk, it has nothing to do with my love for the team. It actually has everything to do with my love for the team. I care about them winning. I've gone through the years of us being the off-season storyline. I've gone through years of us being the Week 11 drama throughout the league. Remember the Jim Zorn era here in Washington? We were relevant for all the wrong reasons. They started off well, but there was so much scrutiny surrounding his credibility, his deservingness for the job. Deservingness? You get what I'm saying, though. Jim Zorn, those days, the swinging gate, hiring the bingo caller as the offensive coordinator, I've been through so much drama with this team, and I feel like when we re-bring up the stadium talk, it falls in the category of drama. It does. I'm over arguing about Jim Haslett. I'm over arguing about Joe Barry. I want to talk about wins and losses. I want to talk about the quarterback playing well. You know, I'm over, you know, Donovan McNabb and the cardiovascular endurance. Like, there's so many non-football-related stories that have come out about this team in recent memory. And I guess talking about Donovan was football-related, but, like, for all the wrong reasons. I'm just ready for the last caller put it great. I'm ready for all the political jargon to stop. I'm ready to talk about this team and this quarterback and what he could potentially be. But before we do that, we'll let you hear once more from a member of the Commanders ownership group, second in charge, as I'm calling him, Mark Ein, on the Kevin Sheehan podcast, had this to say about a potential rebrand for the Washington Commanders.
Actually, rebranding is a really big lift. It is a way bigger than people understand, probably on the face of it, between trademarks and uniforms and colors, if you would ever even think about that. And so it has not taken a moment of focus, because the focus has been building a great organization with a great culture, getting the right pieces in place on the field and off the field, and then investing a lot of money and a lot of time into making sure our current stadium is a place our fans like to go, and that's what we've been focused on.
There you have it. Mark Ein spitting gospel over the weekend, because I can say it, Uptown Don can say it, but when a real member of the organization, a owner, says it, they care about winning, man. I'm so glad that he answered that question the way that he did. It is what matters most at this point. And it's something to me, that's why it was so funny with y'all and the whole Red Wolves thing and being upset. We were coming off a year in which we won like 3-4 games. And all y'all cared about that offseason was 2-2-22 and what the new damn name was going to be. Not the fact that they brought in a retread failed veteran quarterback. Nope. That didn't annoy you. Not the fact that at season's end, our head coach didn't know we could be eliminated from postseason contention. Nope. That's not what annoyed you. What annoyed you was the name. That's what still annoys a lot of you. Not the fact that we've got the fourth fewest wins in the NFL since 2000. Not the fact that we haven't won a playoff game since 05. Not the fact that we haven't had a franchise quarterback damn near ever in this organization. You don't get mad about that. You all choose to flip your lids and pour your beers down your shirts over a name and a rebrand. Moving forward with football getting ready to commence here, coming up on Wednesday, can we please put the stadium talk to bed. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, as I've been mentioning all show long, the day we have been long awaiting is finally here. Coming up on Wednesday, the first official training camp practice for the Washington Commanders. When we get back, I'll tell you what I'm most looking forward to seeing coming up on Wednesday. That's next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up at about 8 o'clock, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, is set to join us. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold as we get warmed up for NFL training camp. I cannot wait. Can't wait. Cannot wait to see the burgundy and gold out in action on Wednesday. Not full pads just yet, but we're getting close. We're getting close, ladies and gentlemen, to the start of NFL training camp here for the burgundy and gold. And I teased coming into the last break, what am I most looking forward to seeing on Wednesday? And I want to know what you all want to see as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I understand, obviously, we all want to see, you know, Jayden Daniels and how he performs and whether or not he's the guy or not. We all want to see that, right? I think that's very obvious, right? Doesn't take a brain surgeon to realize, hey, you know, we kind of want to see the new toy. Everyone wants to see the new quarterback. I get that. But to me, put Jayden Daniels aside. In terms of what I'm most looking forward to seeing, there is an overarching theme to this training camp that I don't feel like enough people are talking about. There is an overarching theme to this camp that I feel like is, ironically enough, flying under the radar. You know what that is? There is one word. One word that is going to sum up what I expect from 2024 training camp with the Washington Commanders. There is one word that I expect to sum up everything that you see for the next month plus. I'll tell you that word next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. You know who it is. Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Before we hand things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network, I teased it going into the break. There's a certain caged animal out there that loved my tease and may or may not have sent me a text message. Thank you, my friend. I hope he's getting a laugh out of it right now in his Kia. There is one word, as I said before the break, one word that I think perfectly encapsulates what training camp will be for the Washington Commanders. It isn't the quarterback position. It isn't whether or not we're going to trade for Brandon Ayuk. It isn't about the left tackle spot. It isn't about whether or not Quan Martin's going to bounce back and really be the team's free safety. There's one word that I think will rule the day for the entire month-long process of training camp. And hopefully this word is one of the principles that this franchise follows for years to come. One word. You ready? One word that summarizes what training camp will be full of. Competition. That's it. You thought I was going to give you a big Harvard word, didn't you? I know. Youngest in Charge. I speak well. You thought I was going to give you a word you didn't know. Competition. Because it's everywhere. And I respect the job that everyone does covering this football team. I think everyone's brilliant. But the one thing that has kind of made me scratch my head a little bit is this idea that specifically up front along the offensive line, that we're only looking at left tackle. Everything else is settled. I've seen Nick Allegretti penciled in. I've seen Andrew Wiley penciled in. I've seen Cosme and Biadasz penciled in. Let me tell you here real quick. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. This training camp will be engulfed in competition at every spot. Every spot. If I had to put my reputation and namesake on the line, I'd say there's two positions on the offensive line right now that are solidified. Center, with Tyler Biadasz coming in after performing his ass off the past few years in Dallas. Right? And then Sam Cosmi, the best offensive lineman on this football team right now. Those are the only two guys, for my money, that have their jobs locked up and secured. And they can lose their job, right? We don't expect them to because they're two really good football players. But I think left tackle is wide open. I think left guard is wide open. We got our draws in a wide over. Nick Allegretti, because he's a Super Bowl champion. Did we not learn from Andrew Wiley, who stunk at times last year, that you don't just get to carry the magical fairy dust from Kansas City. It doesn't just travel with you. You don't get to put it in your fanny pack, right, and open it up and sprinkle it out whenever you want to. You've got to earn it, just how you earned it in Kansas City. I think that right tackle spot is wide the hell open. I'm going to go even take it a step further. Andrew Wiley's ass may be on the bubble, huh? He may be on the roster bubble. That contract that he signed last year, newsflash, this regime did not sign him to it, so there is no loyalty. What'd Chris Brown say? These bleeps ain't loyal. These GMs ain't loyal. That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, I think as a fan base, we were a little bit more critical of his play than we should have been, but he wasn't good. He was not good last year. I think right tackle is wide open. I think Trent Scott is going to throw his name in the hat. I think Corn Lucas is going to throw his name in the hat. Here's how I would go if I was Washington. This would be my starting offensive line. This is how I think it's going to play out based on my projections, I guess, whatever the hell that means, right? Now, when pads come on, things change. But I'm expecting Brandon Coleman to be one of the five starting offensive linemen, and here's why. Our pal Chris Russell got a source out at TCU, and they could not stop raving about Brandon Coleman. Not just about how good of a football player he is, but there's something I think you need when you're playing in the trenches. That's offensive line or defensive line. Shout out Doc Walker. You want to talk about a K-9? You need to have nastiness, a mean streak. And you talk to the folks at TCU, that's what Brandon Coleman has. And I think right now, as we get geared up for his first training camp, he already is one of the five best offensive linemen on this football team. It's on them, talking about Bobby Johnson, Coach Stapleton, Cliff Kingsbury. They got to find where his home is going to be. Because don't get cute, right? Don't get cute. Don't get sexy. Don't throw him at left tackle and put him on an island for him to get his ass whipped just because you want to prove a point. If he's a guard, he's a guard. Doesn't matter. You need good football players. Don't get that lost. Don't let that be lost in any of this. You simply need good football players. And I think he's one of your five best already. But I think it's either going to be him or Corn Lucas at left tackle. At right tackle, I think it's Wiley. I think it's Trent Scott is going to be in the mix. Hell, if Corn Lucas loses the left tackle job, he may be in the mix at right tackle. There's going to be a bevy of competition in a lot of different spots. Offensive line, though, we keep geeking over left tackle. Left guard is wide open. Right tackle's wide open. Come on now. Another place where I expect to see massive, massive competition on this football team is at edge rusher. I know Dorrance Armstrong got the bizag. I know he got paid. I know they've got mob ties, so to speak, between him, DQ, Joe Witt. I get all of that. Sharif Floyd, also a part of that Dallas contingent that's come over here. I get the loyalty that you think that they have. But if Dorrance Armstrong ain't the best left end for the Commanders, he's not going to start. Point blank, I believe Dan Quinn and company and Joe Witt and company when they talk about preaching competition. Ain't no game. This ain't a joke. They feel like they're the laughingstock of the National Football League. You got to think about how Dan Quinn feels as a man. And I always say it, I'm a man first. Whenever I do sports talk radio, I'm a man first. They're people and humans just like we are. You don't think Dan Quinn is fond of the narrative that you all were slurping up scraps for Ben Johnson? You don't think Dan Quinn knows that you all wanted Ben Johnson? You don't think Dan Quinn was listening? Huh? He gets it. He's got something to prove as well. This is his second hoorah. This is his second go-round. So he's going to preach competition, and the best 33 are going to start. Point blank. 11 on offense, 11 on defense, 11 on we-fence. I may have just got you with that, right? We-fence. I went to a terrible Division III football school, Bethany College. My head coach wasn't worth a damn. Stupid. I don't want to call him stupid, but damn, Bill Garvey was not a good play caller. If you're one of my Bethany faithful out there listening, you know what the hell I'm talking about. Bill Garvey had two really good things that he said during his time. He said, perception is 99% reality. And then he said, to hell with calling, you know, kickoff return special teams. It ain't special teams. It's we-fence. We-fence. You got offense, you got defense, and you got we-fence. Because on we-fence, on special teams, you got to make sacrifices. You got to be a crash dummy. That's what I call it. I was a big 270, 280-pound defensive lineman. You think my big ass was wanting to run down there on kickoff? No one wants to do it. But that's how you make the team a lot of the times, man. That's how you make the team a lot of the times. And it feels like, I mentioned guys and they're not being loyalty. Andrew Wiley, Jamin Davis, another guy. Talk about competition. If he cannot find his role at edge rusher, he's already at best your third best linebacker. Do you keep him? He ain't playing special teams. That's what I'm saying. But back to defensive end here for a second. Because I know we've all penciled in Dorrance Armstrong and we're wondering who starts opposite. I think that position is going to be wide open as well. He may get the first crack at it. But one thing I am adamant about when it comes to this defensive front, pass rush juice matters. But man, from the trade deadline on last year, this defense could not set the edge to save its life. They simply just couldn't. To me, that may be my prereq to be my starting defensive end. If you're going to be playing guaranteed first and second down, obvious rundowns, you got to be able to set the edge. And I know former number 4 overall pick Cleveland Farrell, he knows a little bit about setting the edge. That's his specialty. Maybe you start with your two best edge setters, and then on your pass rushing downs, you get creative. You run your stunts. You run your games. You let Luvu put his hand in the ground to stand up. If Jamin's earned it, you let Jamin get in the rotation. If it's KJ Henry, so be it. But as I continue to say, man, competition is going to rule it all this training camp when it comes to the Washington Commanders. Point blank. Mentioned there's going to be competition at defensive end. I think there's competition at linebacker. I think there's competition on 3 of the 5 spots up front along the offensive line, with Tyler Biadasz and Sam Cosmi being the only two that I think have their jobs written in pen. Everybody else is in pencil. Andrew Wiley, no loyalty to him. He may be a surprise cut. Nick Allegretti, no, he won the Super Bowl. No, he's great at the podium. Can he block? That's what I care about. I don't get enamored with all the cute stuff. I don't. With his great answers at the podium. That doesn't mean he should be the starter. You got to earn it, baby. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We're talking all things Commanders training camp. I think the word for camp is going to be competition. In your opinion, what is the most important position battle or even under the radar position battle that you, the fan, are looking forward to? Let's go out to the Commonwealth State. I got Kevin and Arlington. What's going on, Kev?
Hey, Lindell, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, brother. How you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, when you mentioned Brandon Coleman, I loved what you were saying, obviously, because I was on with CN within the last week as a caller, mm-hmm. and I was making some of the same points. And here it is in a nutshell. Brandon Coleman is a bad man, and he's not ready on, you know, the opening day to be the starting left tackle. Please tell me you've given him an opportunity to be out Allegretti. Okay, when you get Wiley a year ago and Allegretti this year in free agency from the Kansas City Chiefs tomato can factory, you know, I don't think you're all set.
And, no, I agree.
And if Coleman is a guard, you know what, damn it, he's the future. I get if he is dominated by Allegretti, if it's not even close, okay, fine. But to me, Coleman's the left tackle in waiting, if not on day one of the season opener. And if not, have him at left guard, solidify the interior of your offensive line. I mean, you just can't tell me that athletically Allegretti can do what Coleman can do. So it's just interesting to me. I maybe am getting ahead of the horse here, and maybe what's going to happen, not unlike Brandon Scherf, is they're going to try him at tackle, and they're going to say, you know what, for now, let's see what he can do at guard. I mean, am I crazy to say that? Nobody's talking about that.
No, Kevin, this is why you're my dog. I'm saying the same thing. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I feel like from day one, he walks in and is one of your five best offensive linemen on this football team. I give him the first crack at left tackle. If he looks overmatched against Dante Fowler, against, you know, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Cleveland Farrell, Frankie Louvelle, if he looks overmatched against those guys, first of all, I think you have a problem because those aren't premier edge rushers and he should be able to hold his own during camp. But it ain't the end of the world. Put him at guard. Because guess what, Kev? I don't know if he's a guard. I don't know if he's a tackle. He's a football player. Point
he is,
blank.
And
period.
He needs to play.
Needs to play.
He needs to play.
Kev, I appreciate you tapping in as always, my brother. I hope everything is well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, top of the 8 o'clock hour, our first guest of the program, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, joins us next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up at about 8 o'clock, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, is set to join us. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold as we get warmed up for NFL training camp. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to see the burgundy and gold out in action on Wednesday. Not full pads just yet, but we're getting close. We're getting close, ladies and gentlemen, to the start of NFL training camp here for the Burgundy and Gold. And I teased coming into the last break, what am I most looking forward to seeing on Wednesday? And I want to know what you all want to see as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I understand. Obviously, we all want to see, you know, Jayden Daniels and how he performs and whether or not he's the guy or not. We all want to see that, right? I think that's very obvious, right? Doesn't take a brain surgeon to realize, hey, you know, we kind of want to see the new toy. Everyone wants to see the new quarterback. I get that. But to me, put Jayden Daniels aside. In terms of what I'm most looking forward to seeing, there is an overarching theme to this training camp that I don't feel like enough people are talking about. There is an overarching theme to this camp that I feel like is, ironically enough, flying under the radar. You know what that is? There is one word, one word that is going to sum up what I expect from 2024 training camp with the Washington Commanders. There is one word that I expect to sum up everything that you see for the next month plus. I'll tell you that word next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor list of lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. You know who it is. Youngest in charge, Movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Before we hand things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network, I teased it going into the break. There's a certain caged animal out there that loved my tease and may or may not have sent me a text message. Thank you, my friend. I hope he's getting a laugh out of it right now in his Kia. There is one word, as I said before the break, one word that I think perfectly encapsulates what training camp will be for the Washington Commanders. It isn't the quarterback position. It isn't whether or not we're going to trade for Brandon Ayuk. It isn't about the left tackle spot. It isn't about whether or not Quan Martin's going to bounce back and really be the team's free safety. There's one word that I think will rule the day for the entire month-long process of training camp. And hopefully this word is one of the principles that this franchise follows for years to come. One word. You ready? One word that summarizes what training camp will be full of. Competition. That's it. You thought I was going to give you a big Harvard word, didn't you? I know. Youngest in charge. I speak well. You thought I was going to give you a word you didn't know. Competition. Because it's everywhere. Because it's everywhere. And I respect the job that everyone does covering this football team. I think everyone's brilliant. But the one thing that has kind of made me scratch my head a little bit is this idea that specifically up front along the offensive line, that we're only looking at left tackle. Everything else is settled. I've seen Nick Allegretti penciled in. I've seen Andrew Wiley penciled in. I've seen Cosme and Biadasz penciled in. Let me tell you here real quick. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. This training camp will be engulfed in competition at every spot. Every spot. If I had to put my reputation and namesake on the line, I'd say there's two positions on the offensive line right now that are solidified. Center with Tyler Biadasz coming in after performing his ass off the past few years in Dallas. Right? And then Sam Cosmi, the best offensive lineman on this football team right now. Those are the only two guys, for my money, that have their jobs locked up and secured. And they can lose their job, right? We don't expect them to because they're two really good football players. But I think left tackle is wide open. I think left guard is wide open. We got our draws in a wide over. Nick Allegretti, because he's a Super Bowl champion. Did we not learn from Andrew Wiley, who stunk at times last year, that you don't just get to carry the magical fairy dust from Kansas City? It'll just travel with you. You don't get to put it in your fanny pack, right, and open it up and sprinkle it out whenever you want to. You've got to earn it, just how you earned it in Kansas City. I think that right tackle spot is wide the hell open. I'm going to go even take it a step further. Andrew Wiley's ass may be on the bubble, huh? He may be on the roster bubble. That contract that he signed last year, newsflash, this regime did not sign him to it. So there is no loyalty. What Chris Brown say? These bleeps ain't loyal. These GMs ain't loyal. That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, I think as a fan base, we were a little bit more critical of his play than we should have been, but he wasn't good. He was not good last year. I think right tackle is wide open. I think Trent Scott is going to throw his name in the hat. I think Corn Lucas is going to throw his name in the hat. Here's how I would go if I was Washington. This would be my starting offensive line. This is how I think it's going to play out based on my projections, I guess, whatever the hell that means, right? Now, when pads come on, things change. But I'm expecting Brandon Coleman to be one of the five starting offensive linemen, and here's why. Here's why. Our pal Chris Russell, he's got a source out at TCU, and they could not stop raving about Brandon Coleman. not just about how good of a football player he is, but there's something I think you need when you're playing in the trenches. That's offensive line or defensive line. Shout out Doc Walker. You want to talk about a K-9? You need to have nastiness, a mean streak. And you talk to the folks at TCU, that's what Brandon Coleman has. And I think right now, as we get geared up for his first training camp, he already is one of the five best offensive linemen on this football team. It's on them, talking about Bobby Johnson, Coach Stapleton, Cliff Kingsbury. They got to find where his home is going to be. Because don't get cute, right? Don't get cute. Don't get sexy. Don't throw him at left tackle and put him on an island for him to get his ass whipped just because you want to prove a point. If he's a guard, he's a guard. Doesn't matter. You need good football players. Don't get that lost. Don't let that be lost in any of this. You simply need good football players. And I think he's one of your five best already. But I think it's either going to be him or Corin Lucas at left tackle. At right tackle, I think it's Wiley. I think it's Trent Scott is going to be in the mix. Hell, if Corin Lucas loses the left tackle job, he may be in the mix at right tackle. There's going to be a bevy of competition in a lot of different spots. Offensive line, though, we keep geeking over left tackle. Left guard is wide open. Right tackle's wide open. Come on now. Another place where I expect to see massive, massive competition on this football team is at edge rusher. I know Dorrance Armstrong got the bizag. I know he got paid. I know they've got mob ties, so to speak, between him, DQ, Joe Witt. I get all of that. Sharif Floyd, also a part of that Dallas contingent that's come over here. I get the loyalty that you think that they have. But if Dorrance Armstrong ain't the best left end for the Commanders, he's not going to start. Point blank, I believe Dan Quinn and company and Joe Witt and company when they talk about preaching competition. Ain't no game. This ain't a joke. They feel like they're the laughingstock of the National Football League. You got to think about how Dan Quinn feels as a man. And I always say it, I'm a man first. Whenever I do sports talk radio, I'm a man first. They're people and humans just like we are. You don't think Dan Quinn is fond of the narrative that you all were slurping up scraps for Ben Johnson? You don't think Dan Quinn knows that you all wanted Ben Johnson? You don't think Dan Quinn was listening? Huh? He gets it. He's got something to prove as well. This is his second hoorah. This is his second go-round. So he's going to preach competition, and the best 33 are going to start. Point blank. 11 on offense, 11 on defense, 11 on we-fence. I may have just got you with that, right? We-fence. I went to a terrible Division III football school, Bethany College. My head coach wasn't worth a damn. Stupid. I don't want to call him stupid, but damn, Bill Garvey was not a good play caller. If you're one of my Bethany faithful out there listening, you know what the hell I'm talking about. Bill Garvey had two really good things that he said during his time. He said, perception is 99% reality. And then he said, to hell with calling, you know, kickoff return special teams. It ain't special teams. It's we-fence. We-fence. You got offense, you got defense, and you got we-fence. Because on we-fence, on special teams, you got to make sacrifices. You got to be a crash dummy. That's what I call it. I was a big 270, 280-pound defensive lineman. You think my big ass was wanting to run down there on kickoff? No one wants to do it. But that's how you make the team a lot of the times, man. That's how you make the team a lot of the times. And it feels like, I mentioned guys and they're not being loyalty. Andrew Wiley, Jamin Davis, another guy. Talk about competition. If he cannot find his role at edge rusher, he's already at best your third best linebacker. Do you keep him? He ain't playing special teams. That's what I'm saying. But back to defensive end here for a second. Because I know we've all penciled in Dorrance Armstrong and we're wondering who starts opposite. I think that position is going to be wide open as well. He may get the first crack at it. But one thing I am adamant about when it comes to this defensive front, pass rush juice matters. But, man, from the trade deadline on last year, this defense could not set the edge to save its life. They simply just couldn't. To me, that may be my prereq to be my starting defensive end. If you're going to be playing guaranteed first and second down, obvious rundowns, you got to be able to set the edge. I know former number four overall pick Cleveland Farrell, he knows a little bit about setting the edge. That's his specialty. Maybe you start with your two best edge setters, and then on your pass rushing downs, you get creative. You run your stunts. You run your games. You let Luvu put his hand in the ground to stand up. If Jamin's earned it, you let Jamin get in the rotation. If it's KJ Henry, so be it. But as I continue to say, man, competition is going to rule it all this training camp when it comes to the Washington Commanders. Point blank. Mentioned there's going to be competition at defensive end. I think there's competition at linebacker. I think there's competition on three of the five spots up front along the offensive line, with Tyler Biadasz and Sam Cosmi being the only two that I think have their jobs written in pen. Everybody else is in pencil. Andrew Wiley, no loyalty to him. He may be a surprise cut. Nick Allegretti, no, he won the Super Bowl. No, he's great at the podium. Can he block? That's what I care about. I don't get enamored with all the cute stuff. I don't. With his great answers at the podium. That doesn't mean he should be the starter. You got to earn it, baby. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We're talking all things Commanders training camp. I think the word for camp is going to be competition. In your opinion, what is the most important position battle or even under the radar position battle that you, the fan, are looking forward to? Let's go out to the Commonwealth State. I got Kevin and Arlington. What's going on, Kev?
Hey, Lindell, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, brother. How you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, when you mentioned Brandon Coleman, I loved what you were saying, obviously, because I was on with CN within the last week as a caller, mm-hmm. and I was making some of the same points, and here it is in a nutshell. Brandon Coleman is a bad man, and he's not ready on, you know, the opening day to be the starting left tackle. Please tell me you've given him an opportunity to be out Allegretti. Okay, when you get Wiley a year ago and Allegretti this year in free agency from the Kansas City Chiefs tomato can factory, you know, I don't think you're all set.
And, no, I agree.
And if Coleman is a guard, you know what, damn it, he's the future. I get if he is dominated by Allegretti, if it's not even close, okay, fine. But to me, Coleman's the left tackle in waiting, if not on day one of the season opener. And if not, have him at left guard, solidify the interior of your offensive line. I mean, you just can't tell me that athletically Allegretti can do what Coleman can do. So it's just interesting to me. Maybe I'm getting ahead of the horse here, and maybe what's going to happen, not unlike Brandon Scherf, is they're going to try him at tackle, and they're going to say, you know what, for now, let's see what we can do with guard. I mean, am I crazy to say that? Nobody's talking about that.
No, Kevin, this is why you're my dog. I'm saying the same thing. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I feel like from day one, he walks in and is one of your five best offensive linemen on this football team. I give him the first crack at left tackle. If he looks overmatched against Dante Fowler, against, you know, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Cleveland Farrell, Frankie Louvu, if he looks overmatched against those guys, first of all, I think you have a problem because those aren't premier edge rushers and he should be able to hold his own during camp. But it ain't the end of the world. Put him at guard. Because guess what, Kev? I don't know if he's a guard. I don't know if he's a tackle. He's a football player. Point blank.
And
period.
He needs to play. He needs to play.
Kev, I appreciate you tapping in as always, my brother. I hope everything is well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, top of the 8 o'clock hour, our first guest of the program, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, joins us next here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. You know who it is. Youngest in charge, Movement Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Before we hand things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network, I teased it going into the break. There's a certain caged animal out there that loved my tease and may or may not have sent me a text message. Thank you, my friend. I hope he's getting a laugh out of it right now in his Kia. There is one word, as I said before the break, one word that I think perfectly encapsulates what training camp will be for the Washington Commanders. It isn't the quarterback position. It isn't whether or not we're going to trade for Brandon Ayuk. It isn't about the left tackle spot. It isn't about whether or not Quan Martin's going to bounce back and really be the team's free safety. There's one word that I think will rule the day for the entire month-long process of training camp. And hopefully this word is one of the principles that this franchise follows for years to come. One word. You ready? One word that summarizes what training camp will be full of. Competition. That's it. You thought I was going to give you a big Harvard word, didn't you? I know. Youngest in charge. I speak well. You thought I was going to give you a word you didn't know. Competition. Because it's everywhere. Because it's everywhere. And I respect the job that everyone does covering this football team. I think everyone's brilliant. But the one thing that has kind of made me scratch my head a little bit is this idea that specifically up front along the offensive line that we're only looking at left tackle. Everything else is settled. I've seen Nick Allegretti penciled in. I've seen Andrew Wiley penciled in. I've seen Cosme and Biadasz penciled in. Let me tell you here real quick. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. This training camp will be engulfed in competition at every spot. Every spot. If I had to put my reputation and namesake on the line, I'd say there's two positions on the offensive line right now that are solidified. Center with Tyler Biadasz coming in after performing his ass off the past few years in Dallas. Right? And then Sam Cosmi, the best offensive lineman on this football team right now. Those are the only two guys, for my money, that have their jobs locked up and secured. And they can lose their job, right? We don't expect them to because they're two really good football players. But I think left tackle is wide open. I think left guard is wide open. We got our draws in a wide over. Nick Allegretti, because he's a Super Bowl champion. Did we not learn from Andrew Wiley, who stunk at times last year, that you don't just get to carry the magical fairy dust from Kansas City. It'll just travel with you. You don't get to put it in your fanny pack, right, and open it up and sprinkle it out whenever you want to. You've got to earn it, just how you earned it in Kansas City. I think that right tackle spot is wide the hell open. I'm going to go even take it a step further. Andrew Wiley's ass may be on the bubble, huh? He may be on the roster bubble. That contract that he signed last year, newsflash, this regime did not sign him to it. So there is no loyalty. What Chris Brown say? These bleeps ain't loyal. These GMs ain't loyal. That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, I think as a fan base, we were a little bit more critical of his play than we should have been, but he wasn't good. He was not good last year. I think right tackle is wide open. I think Trent Scott is going to throw his name in the hat. I think Corn Lucas is going to throw his name in the hat. Here's how I would go if I was Washington. This would be my starting offensive line. This is how I think it's going to play out based on my projections, I guess, whatever the hell that means, right? Now, when pads come on, things change. But I'm expecting Brandon Coleman to be one of the five starting offensive linemen, and here's why. Here's why. Our pal Chris Russell, he's got a source out at TCU, and they could not stop raving about Brandon Coleman. Not just about how good of a football player he is, but there's something I think you need when you're playing in the trenches. That's offensive line or defensive line. Shout out Doc Walker. You want to talk about a K-9? You need to have nastiness, a mean streak. And you talk to the folks at TCU, that's what Brandon Coleman has. And I think right now, as we get geared up for his first training camp, he already is one of the five best offensive linemen on this football team. It's on them talking about Bobby Johnson, Coach Stapleton, Cliff Kingsbury. They got to find where his home is going to be. Because don't get cute, right? Don't get cute. Don't get sexy. Don't throw him at left tackle and put him on an island for him to get his ass whipped just because you want to prove a point. If he's a guard, he's a guard. Doesn't matter. You need good football players. Don't get that lost. Don't let that be lost in any of this. You simply need good football players. And I think he's one of your five best already. But I think it's either going to be him or Corin Lucas at left tackle. At right tackle, I think it's Wiley. I think it's Trent Scott is going to be in the mix. Hell, if Corin Lucas loses the left tackle job, he may be in the mix at right tackle. There's going to be a bevy of competition in a lot of different spots. Offensive line, though, we keep geeking over left tackle. Left guard is wide open. Right tackle's wide open. Come on now. Another place where I expect to see massive, massive competition on this football team is at edge rusher. I know Dorrance Armstrong got the bizag. I know he got paid. I know they've got mob ties, so to speak, between him, DQ, Joe Witt. I get all of that. Sharif Floyd, also a part of that Dallas contingent that's come over here. I get the loyalty that you think that they have. But if Dorrance Armstrong ain't the best left end for the Commanders, he's not going to start. Point blank, I believe Dan Quinn and company and Joe Witt and company when they talk about preaching competition. Ain't no game. This ain't a joke. They feel like they're the laughingstock of the National Football League. You got to think about how Dan Quinn feels as a man. And I always say it, I'm a man first. Whenever I do sports talk radio, I'm a man first. They're people and humans just like we are. You don't think Dan Quinn is fond of the narrative that you all were slurping up scraps for Ben Johnson? You don't think Dan Quinn knows that you all wanted Ben Johnson? You don't think Dan Quinn was listening? Huh? He gets it. He's got something to prove as well. This is his second hoorah. This is his second go-round. So he's going to preach competition, and the best 33 are going to start. Point blank. 11 on offense, 11 on defense, 11 on we-fence. I may have just got you with that, right? We-fence. I went to a terrible Division III football school, Bethany College. My head coach wasn't worth a damn. Stupid. I don't want to call him stupid, but damn, Bill Garvey was not a good play caller. If you're one of my Bethany faithful out there listening, you know what the hell I'm talking about. Bill Garvey had two really good things that he said during his time. He said, perception is 99% reality. And then he said, to hell with calling, you know, kickoff return special teams. It ain't special teams. It's we-fence. We-fence. You got offense, you got defense, and you got we-fence. Because on we-fence, on special teams, you got to make sacrifices. You got to be a crash dummy. That's what I call it. I was a big 270, 280-pound defensive lineman. You think my big ass was wanting to run down there on kickoff? No one wants to do it. But that's how you make the team a lot of the times, man. That's how you make the team a lot of the times. And it feels like, I mentioned guys and they're not being loyalty. Andrew Wiley, Jamin Davis, another guy. Talk about competition. If he cannot find his role at edge rusher, he's already at best your third best linebacker. Do you keep him? He ain't playing special teams. That's what I'm saying. But back to defensive end here for a second. Because I know we've all penciled in Dorrance Armstrong and we're wondering who starts opposite. I think that position is going to be wide open as well. He may get the first crack at it. But one thing I am adamant about when it comes to this defensive front, pass rush juice matters. But, man, from the trade deadline on last year, this defense could not set the edge to save its life. They simply just couldn't. To me, that may be my prereq to be my starting defensive end. If you're going to be playing guaranteed first and second down, obvious rundowns, you got to be able to set the edge. Now, I know former number four overall pick Cleveland Farrell, he knows a little bit about setting the edge. That's his specialty. Maybe you start with your two best edge setters, and then on your pass rushing downs, you get creative. You run your stunts. You run your games. You let Luvu put his hand in the ground to stand up. If Jamin's earned it, you let Jamin get in the rotation. If it's KJ Henry, so be it. But as I continue to say, man, competition is going to rule it all this training camp when it comes to the Washington Commanders. Point blank. Mentioned there's going to be competition at defensive end. I think there's competition at linebacker. I think there's competition on three of the five spots up front along the offensive line, with Tyler Biadasz and Sam Cosmi being the only two that I think have their jobs written in pen. Everybody else is in pencil. Andrew Wiley, no loyalty to him. He may be a surprise cut. Nick Allegretti, no, he won the Super Bowl. No, he's great at the podium. Can he block? That's what I care about. I don't get enamored with all the cute stuff. I don't. With his great answers at the podium. That doesn't mean he should be the starter. You got to earn it, baby. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. We're talking all things Commanders training camp. I think the word for camp is going to be competition. In your opinion, what is the most important position battle, or even under the radar position battle, that you, the fan, are looking forward to? Let's go out to the Commonwealth State. I got Kevin and Arlington. What's going on, Kev?
Hey, Lindell. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, brother. How you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, when you mentioned Brandon Coleman, I loved what you were saying, obviously, because I was on with CN within the last week as a caller, mm-hmm. and I was making some of the same points. And here it is in a nutshell. Brandon Coleman is a bad man. And he's not ready on, you know, the opening day to be the starting left tackle. Please tell me you've given him an opportunity to be out Allegretti. Okay, when you get Wiley a year ago and Allegretti this year in free agency from the Kansas City Chiefs tomato can factory, you know, I don't think you're all set.
And, no, I agree.
And if Coleman is a guard, you know what, damn it. He's the future. I get if he is dominated by Allegretti, if it's not even close, okay, fine. But to me, Coleman's the left tackle in waiting, if not on day one of the season opener. And if not, have him at left guard, solidify the interior of your offensive line. I mean, you just can't tell me that athletically Allegretti can do what Coleman can do. So it's just interesting to me. I maybe am getting ahead of the horse here, and maybe what's going to happen, not unlike Brandon Scherf, is they're going to try him at tackle, and they're going to say, you know what, for now, let's see what we can do at guard. I mean, am I crazy to say that? Nobody's talking about that.
No, Kevin, this is why you're my dog. I'm saying the same thing. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I feel like from day one, he walks in and is one of your five best offensive linemen on this football team. I give him the first crack at left tackle. If he looks overmatched against Dante Fowler, against, you know, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Cleveland Farrell, Frankie Louvu, if he looks overmatched against those guys, first of all, I think you have a problem because those aren't premier edge rushers and he should be able to hold his own during camp. But it ain't the end of the world. Put him at guard. Because guess what, Kev? I don't know if he's a guard. I don't know if he's a tackle. He's a football player. Point
he is,
blank.
And
period.
He needs to play. He needs to play.
Kev, I appreciate you tapping in as always, my brother. I hope everything is well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, top of the 8 o'clock hour, our first guest of the program, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, joins us next here on The Fan.